So here we are tonight, Wednesday night, March 9th. We're going to look at another foreign word. If you looked up the title up there, there's our foreign word for the night here, and that's prayer. I have heard many, many times the reason people don't like this Paul stuff, people that I know of up close, is they've been having a rough life, and so they pray, and where is God at? They don't see God answering their prayer. I've heard that so many times, I just look at them and go, you're kidding me, right? You think you can just go on doing that kind of stuff and do what you're doing, and suddenly you can ask God to fix everything and you expect Him to fix it? That isn't even Paul's direction anyway. So I thought, well, we've done it before. We've got a few more thoughts to put into it now that we're just a little older and seeing more things out there. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. We're looking at prayer tonight for all these people that think that God doesn't exist because He didn't answer their prayer. There's different things to look at here tonight to see what that is. And then we'll look at, if we have the time, I'm sure we will, we'll look at what Paul even says about prayer. And honestly, he doesn't say very much. Isn't that a wild? But what he does do is he gives us example, or ensample, about prayer and what he prays for us. So then the question would be asked, I wonder how much of Paul's prayers are being answered by us in our day-to-day walk and learning. And then he has two fantastic verses that the people that think that God isn't even there say, well, why should we even pray then if the Holy Spirit's going to pray for us? And the answer to that question is obvious because Paul tells us to. The risen Savior tells us to still. But before we get into the meat of the stuff, let's look at Romans chapter 2. Some people just don't see this yet. They just don't get it. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, or 3, I guess. O man that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. He's talking to a lost person there all the way through those verses. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering. So we've got two kinds of folks out there. Ones that think they're going to escape the judgment of God because they don't believe it or whatever. But then you got those that despise the Paul stuff. You know, the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering. That's Paul's teachings. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And we see in verse 5, but after the hardness and impenitence in heart, again, that lost person, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation. So people don't realize that God is not going to step up to the plate. Now, he took care of our sins. That's a marvelous thing. And he took care of sin. Not just our sins, but sin. Past, present, and future. You know, imputation of his righteousness and spiritual circumcision, all that stuff that we hear all the time on this website anyway. But we tend to forget that we reap what we sow in Galatians chapter 6. And, you know, we do what we do, and then suddenly it crashes and we expect God to be there to fix it. And there's even a verse in Timothy, where it says that a lot of this stuff isn't even going to come to pass until the judgment seat of Christ. I think that was in Timothy here where he says that. Check it out here. Yeah, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that otherwise cannot be hid. Some unique verses right there. But everybody just expects a sudden response from God when they finally pray. And there's a reason for that, I see now. I did my normal way of preparing studies and sermons and things. You know, I look up the word or whatever in Paul's books, and you put those together. Then you look them up separately, or something similar, in the Gospels and Hebrews to Jude, because that's to the Jews. Hebrews to the Jews in the tribulation, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, an early Acts is transition, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is to the gospel crowd of the Jews. Knowing that modern Christians today look to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John more than anything, if they look to the Scriptures at all, they look to those books, teachings to the Jews, not to the Gentiles, and they skip what was taught to the Gentiles through Paul. So as a result of that, we can quite often see the difference in this stuff. For example, here we go, with prayer. Okay, you look up prayer and pray and things, and yet, you know what I looked up in the Gospels is the word ask, because it deals with prayer. So what we have is we have people today that think that they're just going to ask. That's not prayer, that's asking. And we'll show you what Paul says here later on tonight. But let's just jump right into this gospel stuff. It won't take very long. Because if people pray today, the modern Christian or any kind of a Christian whatsoever, or you know, we have life rough. Life is getting rough here. And so they go to the Lord in prayer and they ask. Now, let's look at Matthew. I'm just going to show you some things here that the modern Christian is pulling off, which is why it's nothing but a folly today, because this isn't where God's at. He's not going to respond to the Beatitudes and to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John scriptures, because those aren't written to us, so why should he respond in that manner? He's going to respond to us in the manner that Paul's preparing us for the judgment seat of Christ. Again, people think that the works that they do are judged whether they're good or bad by God, and he'll bless them physically, or he'll bless them in some manner based on their works. Okay, they accept that, but they forget that the works will not be judged, good or bad, until the judgment seat of Christ. So based on that stuff in Romans chapter 2 and based on the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and those types of things, we've got no judgment going on right now. Whether if they're sins, then you're lost, and yeah, they're sins. But if you're saved, our works are still not going to be judged or blessed or whatever until the judgment seat of Christ, where the rewards are dished out or they're burnt up in the fire. So they go to God and they ask him to do things. Well, he's not going to do them based on his gospel teaching. We'll get to Paul here in a minute. Matthew chapter 6, for example. Be not ye therefore... Let's do Matthew chapter 5 first. Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Here's a verse. I want you to put this aside and ask this to anybody who's a gospel, modern gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, modern Christian, whatever. And if they look to the Matthew, the Beatitudes, here's a marvelous one to ask them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Okay, so if you're going to believe the Beatitudes and stuff like that, then there's a marvelous verse to put on them. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. I need to borrow a couple of $1,000 from thee, dear friend. I got some things I need to pay for, blah, 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 blah. And they should honor that. That's part of their teaching. Anyway, get back to the trail here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Okay? So, now, the only thing Paul really says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I look at that verse, and I'm a little slow with it, but my God shall supply all your need. That's fine. We know that we think we have needs, but they're wants. And I read the other day where one of the philosophies behind advertising is to get somebody who has a want to turn it into a need. So there's that whole problem. But I like this phrase, according to his riches in glory. Now, his riches in glory cannot be cashed down here. So he supplies all of our need. To me, it looks like we're looking at some spiritual needs here. We need salvation. We need imputation. We need the confidence from his scriptures. All the things that you come up with that, according to his riches in glory. Not according to his riches on this earth. I mean, you wonder why these people who say they're Christians, now that's between them and God, you know, we don't know that kind of a thing, have the struggles that they have, the losses that they have, the pains, the cancer, the children, all the things that happen. And so many of these people say they're just solid praying people. And, you know, you see this picture of the Katrina when it came through, and all these houses are destroyed, but there's one house that wasn't. Totally, I mean, it's just washed out, but it's still standing on its little sticks. And they say, well, we prayed. Well, didn't anybody else pray? You hear these kind of things. Yeah, 5 people were shot, 7 people were injured. Those that were injured prayed unto God. Well, these people that were going to be shot, weren't any of them Christians at all? Were they possibly praying? Why did they get shot? And the world sees this hypocrisy, this folly of this power of prayer stuff, you know. And people really go to bed at night and they say their prayers, repeat them over and over, whatever. And yet, where's the answer? And is that part of the folly? Well, if we look to our prayer life like it says in the Gospels, like right there, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, where it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find, and not, and it shall be opened unto you. Are you not asking? Well, sure, people are asking. And it says, you know, verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. What do you think when your children, people's children, hear us read these verses about answer to prayer, and then these kids ask for things, or they see their parents ask for whatever the needs are in the home, and they're not provided? Don't these kids grow up thinking God isn't real? And the devil's going to take these verses right here, I'm going to show you some more here, and he's going to make these verses public for people to see that they're praying and they're asking, and it's not happening. Because, see, they're not talking to God. The Antichrist is going to set up his little system, which I'll show you here in a couple minutes. Now, so here's these verses. He says in verse 9, or what man is there of you of whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Okay, where's all these good things? Where's this good job? Where's this good income? Where's this good car? Where's this good house? Where's this good health? You've asked him, and you've asked him, and you've asked him. Now, look back to verse 8, where it says, be not ye therefore like unto them. In other words, don't be like them, worrying about your need, because Father knows what things you need before you ask him. What are we talking about here? Well, look, go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. See, we're Gentiles, and our flesh is still a Gentile flesh. We are the church of God. We're saved, no doubt about it. And we're looking to Paul for our teaching because we're looking to the risen Savior. But no matter what we're doing in our day-to-day affair, the flesh that we fight is a Gentile flesh. We're not fighting a Jewish flesh. According to what I've read, they didn't have the conscience. We had the conscience. They had the law. We had the conscience. It's interesting because you go back to the Old Testament and you realize that those Ten Commandments, for example, Mount Sinai, were given to the Jews. They weren't given to the Gentiles that I've noticed. Now Paul reiterates them as things that we should not be doing, but still. So we see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Oh, wait a minute. So let's go back up to verse 25. This is interesting here. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. And it goes on. And we know Christians like that. We know Bible-believing people that way. I've been that way. We've all been that way. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. I'm a Christian now. And I'll show the details in a minute. Hang on. For 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Oh, I don't know about cubits. I've added a few pounds. I think if my pounds grow, the cubits are growing. But beyond that, why take ye thought for raiment? Okay, so if we sat around and didn't worry about things and didn't try to do this and try to get the money to pay for this and God will take care of us, you know, and God's people, you became a Christian beggar because you expect all the people in the church to take care of you. Been around that stuff before. And yet, some of you folks out there have taken great care of us because of this website, because of the preaching apparently, and money still keeps coming in to keep this thing going. And it helps us to keep this thing going. I'm sure I prayed about that. I've asked for that to take place. But what happens when those that used to pay don't? Or we get to the point where nobody's helping and this thing finally fizzles. Why is that? Is that because... oh, the stupid cough is back. Is it because I'm doing something wrong? There's the question that people put on you. But look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whether else, we need to be concerned about this stuff. We do? Well, look at verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. See, that's our problem. We as Gentiles, we need things. We want things. We have this desire to have things. We're that way. We want to know that we'll be taken care of. And I want to know I'm being taken care of. That's fine. But see, the whole thing here is this is a gospel thing. So it's in our nature to fear and to wonder how we're going to make things work. Well, this is a Gentile age as far as that goes. This is a dispensation of grace with Paul dealing with Gentiles. So we've got all these people out there asking God to give them things, to do things for us, because that's what Gentiles do. Now, look at Matthew 21. And I'm showing you some verses here in the Gospels that people fall on today, and as a result, they eventually give up because God's not there, according to them. He says, Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Well, what, didn't you believe hard enough? I've got a former friend on the internet out there that said his wife is sick because she didn't believe strong enough, and he does, and God's blessed him with a healthy older age. Oh, you're going to tell your wife she's sick because she doesn't believe strong enough? You're getting that from Matthew, buddy. You're not getting that from Paul. What a thing to tell your wife. Now, it gets really good, though, in the book of John. Luke has the same thing we just went through. We're going to look into the book of John. There's full of stuff in there. We all know that when somebody gets saved, we give them the book of Romans and we give them the book of John. I don't anymore, but that's what we used to do. That's classic. So here's what he says in John. John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Oh! So I just need to say, in his name when I'm done praying. And then I'll get everything. He says in John 4, look at verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's the trick. Is that the key? We all know, we did a couple sermons on prayer and this in my name. Do we have to say that? We've been to, you know, family reunions and we go to where there's other people and then they pray and they don't say Jesus' name and you think right away, see, they're not a Christian. They don't know that you're supposed to say in my name, in his name. And they're not going to get their prayers answered because they don't say in his name at the end, in Jesus' name, in the name, all that kind of stuff. That is so baloney. And we read through Paul. Here's the sermon on that series in a nutshell. You become saved as you become a Christian and you're saved. You're in his name. That's what Paul preached. I won't get into that tonight, though. But adding Jesus, and I remember how hard it was for me to pray in the church back in Tushy and leave off in Jesus' name at the end. Because that's not what he's saying. He doesn't say, if you shall ask anything and say in my name, it just doesn't say that. Look at John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So tag a little in Jesus' name at the end of this thing, and you got it. According to this. 16, look at verse 24. Keep going. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Just put Jesus' name on that thing, and you got what you want. Verse 26, chapter 16, verse 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. So, it's amazing, isn't it? We've got people that are mad at God, or they don't believe God exists, because they've tagged on in Jesus' name, or they've asked and they've believed, and it still doesn't come through. Their children still die. They still get the prostate cancer. They still get all the other cancers. They still have accidents. Things happen. They lose their jobs, and they've been with the company for 50 years. I mean, all these things happen, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and what's going on here? Now, if we jump in here and go to James, you know, the other side of this dispensation of grace, we go to the other side, the tribulation. James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay, so pray for wisdom. Put your Bible away and pray for wisdom. You're not going to get wisdom that way. It doesn't happen that way today. James 1:6, the next verse. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, the reason your prayers aren't getting answered because you're wavering in your faith. You don't believe strong enough. This is what they tell you. James 4:2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Oh, I've asked. What, 1 John, here we go, 1 John, these are the good ones, 1 John. Everybody goes to 1 John. It's just amazing. Verse chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Ah, because we keep his commandments. That's why your prayers aren't being answered. Oh, I didn't know that. See, I'm not keeping his commandments. I'm not doing everything that's pleasing in his sight. Well, according to Paul, we need to do what Paul teaches to please God. Doing the Beatitudes does not please God because that's not on our list of things to do to please God, according to Paul. Now, there are some things in there that Paul reiterates, and so, yeah, that's part of it. But to get bend down and stuffing up and do those Beatitudes, that's not pleasing God. That's a different. That'd be like going out to build an ark, or running through the desert looking for the Holy Grail or something. You know, I mean, that stuff just doesn't happen. It's not there. So if we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, we'll receive what we ask. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is confidence now. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Oh! So if your prayers aren't being answered, it's because it's not God's will. So my little girl died because God wanted her dead. It wasn't His will that she would live. Well, that makes a real loving God, that He wanted my daughter die, or my wife die, or my husband die, or it was God's will that I lose my job. Why? Because you're not keeping your commandments? Can't you just hear the pastor's message coming out there? This is where it's coming from. 1 John 5:15. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So, all you got to do is go back and look at the modern teachings, and you can see why people are mad at God, because they don't think you answer prayer. Because all we're doing is asking. And in the gospel days, sure. And in the tribulation days, yes. They better be keeping those commandments, because that's the salvation for the tribulation. And if they're keeping those commandments and doing what pleases God based on the law, God will be there. But today, where's God at? It seems like He's letting everything go. Well, in some respects, He is. Sin's been taken care of with us. That's not even an issue with us. Our works will be judged later. If He judges them now, what's the point of the judgment seat? If He blesses us now because of something we've done that's good, then why? What's the point of having that work put forth at the judgment seat? It's already been judged. So that's not going to happen. And the lost people, they're getting away with murder because He says, you're staying up. I'm just waiting until your judgment comes along. I'm giving you a chance to be saved. I'll take care of that stuff. Yeah, then they say no. Yeah, Mark or Brian. Then they say no answer is an answer. Yeah, try that as a parent, you know. It's amazing stuff. So, it isn't hard. Right and divide, one of my favorite things to do is to compare Paul's teachings with the Gospels and the Hebrews to Jude. So put them on separate pages, look at the verses, and you'll see the obvious differences. That was what got me started on this stuff years ago. Was I just started to see the differences and then be willing to unlearn what you've been taught out of the Gospels and out of Hebrews to Jude, because that isn't what Paul preaches. A lot of that stuff is not what Paul preaches. But to unlearn that stuff, that's what's tough for most of us. So, if that's the case, let's go here to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at what Paul has to say about prayer. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Paul's prayers. We're not going to repeat them. Paul's middle name is not Jabez. By the way, have you noticed that the latest alien in Hollywood, this new movie out from Hollywood, I guess, and is an alien, and his name is Paul. Of course. Why not? And the commercial I saw was he heals a bird, then he eats a bird. Makes it funny. So here we are just numbing all these young people's brains again against now the word Paul. Why do they? We know what's going on here. Come on. Romans 11:22 is about to take place one of these days. You know, God, people are just not wanting to hear the goodness of God. They don't believe it. They don't buy it. They're not interested in it. They'd rather ask and beg in prayer based on their goodness, because the Bible says in Matthew, the pastor says in Matthew, the church teaches in Matthew instead of teaching about Paul. Now, I got to say this for the record again. I am not one of those that says, I believe that we're a Paul only, but we are not Paul only. We still believe in reading the Gospels. How else do you read about what Jesus did on this earth? How did He take care of sin? He walked, He fulfilled the law. I still believe in reading the Old Testament. I still believe in reading Hebrews to Jude. That's where the teaching is going to be for the Jews during the tribulation. And then besides all that, you read the rest of this Bible, it helps you understand what is of Paul's teaching so different than everybody else. You see the differences there. And then it's just bottom line simple. We need to know that Jesus, He's back even in Moses' day, in the Gospels, but His testimony is the fact that He rose again. Everybody believes that. Then why don't they believe what He teaches now that He rose again? That just amazes me how they just reject the whole thing. That's blindness. That is not a Christian. That is a person with another Jesus. Okay, anyway. And, here's something else, by the way. It's a kind of bunny trail here. What else do people do in this modern towards God? They ask in their prayers. The other point I have here is they correct Him. That'd be another sermon in itself. They correct what he says, if they even believe that that's what he says in the Bible. They think they can correct God. Then they go by their inner feelings, and I heard some guy on the radio the other day talk about how God answers your questions by your inner essence of strength and of faith, and it was just like, oh, please. And everybody buying into this stuff because it's what Jesus taught. It's in your Bible right there. And I'll say it one more time. Paul's books ought to have red letters in there too, because that's what Jesus Christ said to Paul and told him to tell us. That should be the red letter part of the Bible. So throw out that red letter baloney. So now, we've got 30 minutes here, and we're just going to look at his prayers. And what I suggest to people, I don't know if anybody's ever done it yet. I've done this, thankfully, two or three times. It's not the same, but it's still the same verses. You look at these verses, and you'll see what it is that Paul's praying for us. And then you ask yourself, has this prayer been answered in your life? For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. Okay, so now that's Paul's praying. Remember, Paul says to pray without ceasing. Oh, and by the way, we need to find those verses really quick. But, sorry, get back on here. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Because why is that? Because we know not what we should pray as we ought. We don't even know how to pray for what we should be praying. I mean, Christ is taking care of everything, even our prayer life. He prays for us. He makes intercession for us with groanings, because we don't even know what we ought to pray for. I thought I wrote that verse down. It's in Ask. I think I can find it. Hang on a minute here. Yeah, it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This ought to be marvelously encouraging to everybody. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, that's the Lord, of course. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ask or think. Getting our thinkings in there too, isn't it? Our thoughts. And that's it. That's all Paul says with the word about asking or praying or whatever. The rest of our illustrations here are looking at what it is that Paul prays for. Now let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My God, I thank my God always on your behalf. And here's what he's thanking God for in our lives. Have these things come true in our lives? He says, well, number one, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Well, yes, we've received that. That's good. And he says that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. So now here's where the 8:20. I'm sorry, Romans 8:26 is a verse in Romans. Thank you, Mark. Okay, so here's where this crowd that says you don't need your Bible, God will teach me. It says in all these in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Where do we get this enrichment? We get this from our Bible, knowledge, all utterance. We are enriched by him. We've been enriched by him. How? By what we've learned in our Bible. That's the difference between the Gospels and the modern Christian and the Paulkai Bible believing, is because we've got to get to this Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's keep going here. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, has it been confirmed in you? I would certainly hope so. Let me check out something here. 1 Corinthians, I got to look this up here. 1 Corinthians 1. I'm looking up. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Okay. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's that gift confusion. So what gifts are we wanting to not be behind on? Do we go to those spiritual gifts that the tongue-speaking crowd gets into? Remember the stuff about the two different gifts Paul preaches? We'll do that in another sermon. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's one of Paul's prayers. He's praying for the grace of God for us, and we're enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge through the Bible. And not behind in any gift. So what is your gift? Speaking in tongues? Interpretation? That was during Paul's time. Now what Paul preaches to us is in Romans 12, what we're talking about here. Let's go on to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Notice that what Paul prays for isn't for us to have cars and houses and money and riches and all. Matter of fact, Paul says, listen, if money is your desire in life, if that's your love, you're going to err from the faith. Okay, are y'all still there? Type a hello. There we go. Well, what happened? The computer battery thing, it went, Mark. It died. It just shut off. It beeped and shut off. It did a test or something. So we're back. So we'll keep going here. We'll figure this thing out another day. Let's see. Everything should be working. I got that cam still going, and we're ready to. Can you hear me? Everything's fine. Peter says, good. Yep. Okay, here we go. Keep going. Don't know what it is, Mark, and I've tried to figure this thing out. Who knows? Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 16. Here's another one of his prayers. Are we answering Paul's prayers in our life? Really? I cease not to give thanks for you, verse 16, making mention of you in my prayers. There we go. Now, what does he mention of us in his prayers? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our glory, may, here we go, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? Yes, he has. How has he done that? Through the Bible. That spirit of wisdom and revelation, Paul's days, was given to him in the knowledge of him. It was given to them. 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, now that stuff is over, it was done in part, now we have a Bible. That's the part that throws people. That's the test to see if they're really a King James Bible believer or not. Okay, number two. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may, number two is, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So there's an answer to prayer. Are you seeing more now than ever before? It's only because of your rightly dividing your Bible. Number three, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling, we studied a long time ago, I'll do a sermon on it while a long time ago. God's calling and will to us is to follow Paul. That's the calling in our life. That's God's calling for us. That's the will of God. Not that you be a plumber or a piano tuner, or that it's God's will that you get sick and die. No, that's because of sin, that's because of our flesh, da-da-da-da. Maybe it's because you're reaping what you sowed. I mean, who knows what's going on here? Okay? And then four, that he may... But the riches of the glory of his inheritance, that we may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The glory of his inheritance. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. Yeah, we can know that. How do we know that? From that Bible again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Well, is that the power to answer prayer? Is it the power to pray up a new house? Is it the power to pray healing? No, it's the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. What has he done? He's taken care of sin. He's done the imputation stuff. All the things he's done, the spiritual blessings, that's the greatness of his power to usward. We believe, we receive those things. Not some nice new house or whatever. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 3. See, read his prayers really slowly. You'll see if you're actually responding to what Paul was concerned about. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Okay, here's his prayer request. This is what Paul's praying for. By the way, fathers, this is what you pray for your family. This is what your goal as a father or a mother or a parent is towards your children. You lead them this way. Okay, here we go. Number one, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Okay? You go through the scriptures, you find out how we should be strengthened. It says here, would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that, number two, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Okay, we understand that. That you be rooted and grounded in love. Not humanistic love, but God's way of love, which means avoid and from such withdraw because you care for him. Then he says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Those are Paul's requests. Those are Paul's prayers for us. That's how he prayed for us. And if those things are coming true in our lives today, it's because we're Bible-believing reading people, and we understand rightly dividing, and we see these things changing our lives. Sure, you change your modesty thing. Sure, you change your anger. You change different things within your day-to-day life. And we fight our flesh all the time. Sure we do. But these are serious spiritual things that Paul is praying for us. And it helps you guide your direction as a parent for your family, to guide them towards these things right here. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Now this one will change your life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, okay, here's Paul praying, that what? Well, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Everybody says that God doesn't want us to make any judgments. And here's Paul praying that we do. That you may approve things that are excellent. So what are you judging? You're judging things that are excellent, and those are the things you're going to wear, do, listen to, read, watch. And it says that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Sure, nothing's imputed to us sin-wise, but we're going to be doing works, and it's going to be affected at the judgment seat of Christ. Wouldn't it be nice if we could go to the judgment seat of Christ without a hope, without a big, great, big, huge, deep basket of crummy work? Wouldn't it be nice if we were without offense till the Lord comes in that rapture? And it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We've got righteousness. We've got His righteousness. But to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. We know the fruit today of righteousness is mostly persecution and rejection. But if that's what Paul says is going to happen, then I guess that's one of the fruits of righteousness. That's what he talks about. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Okay? He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye, here's his prayers again, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Nowhere can you get that except from reading your Bible. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's Paul's writing. That's Paul's walk. Paul's ways. Being fruitful in every good work. Remember, the fruitfulness can still be persecution. An increase in the knowledge of God. Sure, an answer to that prayer, if you don't read your Bible and study this thing, you're not going to increase in the knowledge of God, no matter how much you pray for that. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's worth praying over. That's worth striving towards. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of his inheritance of the saints in life. Do we thank him for that? That he's made us meet? Means he's made us fashionable so we can actually be partakers of that inheritance. He's changed us. He's made us meet to be partakers now. We couldn't be a partaker before. And that's what you want. This is how you pray for your lost family, for your lost friends. That they see these things. That they receive Christ in their heart. That they receive this knowledge and they understand these things. This is how you pray for people. Oh, wait a minute. This looks like it would take a long time. Yeah, it does. I mean, it really does. But then Paul says, pray without ceasing. You want to just list their names and read off, God bless, da-da-da-da-da. I read the other day where they've got an iPod, I guess, now that'll accept confessions or something. Some deal like that. I guess you can read them into this iPod and it goes to a priest somewhere someday. Are we really losing it in this country or what? Look at Colossians chapter 4. Here's Epaphras. This isn't even Paul, but Epaphras, who was one of you, so he's still one of the body here. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What's the prayers? That you may stand perfect. Does that mean errorless? No, it means complete. It even says perfect and complete in all the will of God. So Epaphras prayed that you would be doing the will of God. And again, I said we studied that thing in the will of God for Gentiles today, in this day and age, dispensation of grace is to follow Paul. Because to follow Paul will take care of all the other things that take place in your life. It'll take care of a real salvation. It'll take care of whether you got another Jesus or not. It'll take care of how to get in your Bible and make sense of that thing. It'll take care of understanding. It'll take care of confidence. It'll take care of all that stuff from your Bible reading. The Spirit of God is alive in that book. And the Spirit of God will work towards us and to us, in us, just like He always has. But in this case, dispensation of grace is sent through a King James Bible. Not through your pastor. Unless he's preaching the King James Bible. Then those verses will come out and the Spirit of God will work on you. Not through the pastor. Hebrews 13 is bogus today. Pastor can be used, the local church can be the pillar and ground of the truth. But it isn't the truth. The Word of God is the truth. If that pastor is putting forth Paul's ways like he says he's supposed to be, then sure, the Spirit of God will use that man by looking at the scriptures that he's preaching. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. This was Paul's prayers, and the other people that are with him, this is what they said. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So Paul and his merry band are wanting to be there with you. You know, that I look at this like this. This Bible, which has Paul's writings, everybody else, but this Bible wants to see my face. The Spirit of God wants to see my face looking into this book. Why? Because it wants to perfect that which is lacking in my faith. In my faith. I've got the faith of Christ. There's nothing lacking there. But my faith. And so Paul says, listen, we want to see your face. We're praying night and day that we can see your face. Do you know how many people didn't make it to the sermon tonight? And I'm not proud of my sermon. I love the book. And my preparation has been really not as good as it used to because I'm working. What a drag. I tried the missionary route. That didn't work at all. Y'all took care of us very well, but that just fell apart in Ohio. Had to get a job. Now, the scriptures, people need to hear these scriptures. And they're not there. Well, I wish I could go through the list of people that could be there. See, I pray that they can come. I know why one isn't there. What a shame. That isn't God's design. That is not God's will that they do, that they're doing what they're doing and they miss this stuff. The list is very long. Remember the names used to have on there? Pal Talk is enough to talk anybody out of listening, I'll tell you. Get on the website and listen later. I mean, I guess if I remember, somebody told me the other day that advertisements pop up. Even music pops up sometime, and you're always having to control that junk on Pal Talk right now. That's horrible. But it costs us $60 a person for a year to have an untwinked sermons from this thing. The website people, they get it all too later. So we pray exceedingly that we would see their face. I would see their name on here, and they'd be there to listen. This is Paul's praying. Look at, and I like this, perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray also always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. You can specifically put that down to a certain person. You can put that to you. Fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. How are you going to know what that stuff is? Your Bible. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. So do you think saying in Jesus' name is going to glorify Him? Well, I suppose it could, but it's not what he's talking about here. Especially if you're not dressed right or talking right, or a lady's praying from the pulpit. She's the pastor or whatever. And does that glorify? That doesn't glorify Him. Jesus Christ is not being glorified in you just because you say in His name. Chances are He's being shamed, actually. And then it says, and ye in Him. We should be glorified in Him as well. How can we be glorified? Well, by having a joy that tells people, listen, my sins are forgiven. Well, my sins are forgiven too. My sins aren't imputed. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Then you tell them and they go, oh, that's crazy. Why is that crazy? Isn't that what you want? You go to a doctor with cancer, and you go to a doctor because you have cancer, and you don't want to go to a doctor with cancer, and And the doctor says, well, it's in remission, so we'll leave it alone. Can we get rid of it, doc? I'd like to really get rid of it if we could. Well, maybe. It's just crazy what's going on out there. So there are things here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We can learn so much from Paul's prayers for what he's praying for me. This is what he prayed for me. How much of this am I receiving in my life? What I'm going to receive in my life is going to come from my Bible study, Bible reading, and my actions on a daily basis. Do I have to ask God all these things? Is God going to reward me physically because I'm doing all these things in Paul's case? Not in the physical kingdom. That's the kingdom of heaven. We're here to live the kingdom of God. That's not meat or physical things. Can God bless? Sure He can. Did God get me this job in South Dakota? Did God get you that job, Sam, instead of the one you're studying for? I mean, how do you look at this stuff? Life is life. Life goes on. Does He want me doing crummy music at the school? I don't believe He does based on my scriptures, so I don't. What if they want me to be the high school band director, Sam, and I got to play this junk in front of a basketball game, girls' basketball game? Then we got a problem. Have to do some discussion here. I already told them, but anyway. Life is what life is. And if we're going to play the game of the prayer, power of prayer through the Gospels, we're going to find out that God isn't there to answer those things. But He sure has been there for me on a spiritual realm, all the things He's done to me. And because of those things, I'm trying to walk a life to please Him. Doesn't please the world. And if I'm in flesh all the time, as we all do, and yet we have that joy that Christians don't have. We're supposed to have. So why don't we have that joy? We still got that old teaching in us, don't we? We just can't accept God's grace totally, completely. He says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1-3, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Really? Kings and all that are in authority? Yeah, really. Now, here's what we pray for. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's what we pray for. We don't pray for Obama to give me better jobs, etc., etc. We pray that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That means that we can do what we want within our home, the liberty that we should have within our home, to live like a Christian, to live, to do the right thing. And we're losing those freedoms. Very much so. So there's what we pray for. Doesn't just say pray for the leaders. He tells us how to pray. Now, how many people don't have a quiet and peaceable life? Is it because God hasn't given it to them? Could it be 1 Corinthians chapter 7? Maybe it's a family marriage issue? Okay, you can go to bed every night you want and you can pray for a quiet and peaceable life, but if you don't deal with that situation, you're not going to have it. God isn't going to magically fix it. So anyway, we are so gospel-trained, gospels-trained, that we figure if we do something right, God owes us a blessing. And according to what Paul teaches, he's done so much for us. He's done so much to us. Who are we to even ask Him for anything? Do the best you can. Get a job the best you can. And when you see somebody that has a need, a brother, we help him as best as we can. Like I've said again and again, you guys have helped us here immensely. And I know some of you still are. And it helps. You would not know how much it helps. But God just isn't going to... Brian, you know this. How many times have you prayed for a good job and a solid job and there's nothing there yet? Is it because you're a bad boy? These are tough times. It's going to get worse. We know in Jeremiah, one of the things it talks about in the tribulation is going to be the sound of the mill is gone. That's working. Employment's going to be horrible. Unemployment's going to be marvelous, put it that way. So, anyway, hope that wasn't confusing towards the end there. That's what Paul says about prayer. Look to Paul's prayers for examples of what it is that we're trying to do in our lives. Be an answer to Paul's prayer. And then try to pass those prayers on to your family for you to do that towards your family and see if you can't guide them towards those directions. So, I'll put the notes up eventually here, and you can maybe make something out of them more than I said tonight. But there you are.